Hey everybody, this is Sarah Brillo here. Today's episode is about marketing tips for CFA charter holders. Thank you everybody for tuning in. So I'm actually recording this on a Saturday. This is what happens, and some of you that have followed me know this about my life, is that I actually have three children, ages 4 and younger. So this is what happens when you have children this young and you have a business, is that you end up doing stuff on Saturdays and, you know, sometimes with your kids around. So one of my babies is here. The other two are with Antonio at the park. I'm hoping she's not going to make too much noise, but if she does, I hope that all of you will understand. You know, this is just what happens when you're a businesswoman and a mother, is that when you have three kids under 4 years old, you end up being on conference calls when you're doing your grocery shopping. Anyway, so today I'm going to be talking about, from the perspective of someone who is both a CFA charter holder and a businesswoman, how CFA charter holders can use not just necessarily the credential or the designation, but the fact that they are CFA charter holders and the experience that they've been through to get new clients and to develop business for themselves. This is going to be really chock full of value, so I really hope all of you get your pens and paper out and are going to be taking notes, like I know all of you CFA charter holders are good at. So the first thing is about the CFA designation is that this is something that I kind of messed up with a little bit in my own life when I got laid off from Lehman Brothers. See, there she goes. I kind of had this a little bit of like an entitled attitude where I felt like, because I was a CFA charter holder, that jobs should come easily to me and that people, when they saw that, it was going to make it easier for me to get another job. Well, oh boy, couldn't have been more incorrect about that. And no fault of the CFA designation itself, it was really my attitude. So this is kind of the attitude. I'm going to talk about the attitude that you should have towards your business development. And I'm going to actually speak about it from the point of view of financial advisors, because I myself for many years was a financial advisor. You know, I'm not making stuff up. Like, this is actually stuff that I did or do and do currently, even though I'm not an advisor anymore, in my own marketing. And then I'm going to put down also some practical tips for you, just so that this doesn't seem too much like a motivational fest like I'm Tony Robbins or something. So the first thing is, understand that in order to get the CFA designation, I mean, there are always those whiz people that just kind of zipped on through it. Not necessarily talking to you on this, but for most of us, myself included, getting the designation took a fair amount of determination and mental tenacity on your part. Now, I know for myself, I was an English major, and when I decided I wanted to be a portfolio manager, I was very young in my career, I really met with a lot of resistance. The story was always, are you sure you can do this? This is, and one person even told me, he was like, you know what? You're a marketing girl, Sarah, and this is a finance exam. Well, the way that I am, the more you tell me I can't do something, that just makes me want to do it more. I'm just kind of that mindset that I'm not really going to be limited by what other people tell me. And I think that that's really an important thing with the CFA designation. Understand that if you've been through this process, you've been through a fair amount of, I would say, mental testing. And you've had to have a lot of perseverance to get this. Now, you know, I feel like many people kind of let this fall off when they get into the practice or into the business. They get the designation. I feel like for many of us, that's where it kind of ends. And I think it might have to do something about the pride aspect of it, where when you're going for the exam, you know, there's all this hype about it. Everyone's asking you. And, you know, you kind of don't want to fail and let them down. So it's much more public. Whereas with your business, I mean, I know when I was an advisor, I was underperforming. You know, I wasn't a great advisor, first of all, but that had more to do with what my passions and my talents are in life. But I also was not a great marketer. I wasn't really, I'm going to get to that in a minute about the rigor of it. But what I'm saying is I didn't really have as much determination in anything I did since after I passed the CFA. And I do think that it had a lot to do with, like I said, the fact that a lot of the things that you do with your own success in your business or your work tend to be a little bit less public or personal, whereas if you're going for the CFA, it's very visible and there's a little bit more pride involved there too. But I'm saying is bring that back. Bring back that same determination. Like, Do you know what it takes to get past that FRA stuff in the derivative section? Like, remember the fair value accounting rules and like how you studied those? And, you know, think about how you were like really punching the bag so hard. And don't let go of that. Don't let go of that. Remember it. You know, Macaulay versus modified duration. Ay, caramba! There was so much tough stuff there. I remember I told a reporter once that if it took 80 years, it was going to say Sarah Grillo CFA on my tombstone. And I wish at that point in my business, I had kind of thought to myself, am I applying this same tenacity to the work I do now? No, I'm not. I remember once when I was, and this gets, I'll get, now I'm going to get into the rigor stuff, right? And it's that, you know, taking that discipline, that determination, you can't just sit there and say, oh, I'm committed, I'm determined, right? It actually has to translate into action. So here's where I'm going to start talking about the kinds of things you should be doing as a charter holder if you're in business that will help you to create more opportunity for yourself. And that is just taking more action. I mean, think about with the CFA exam, how easy it was for you to take action. You know, you saw people, they're studying all day on Saturday. Right? Like telling their friends, no, I can't go out. I remember once I went to Italy with my family and I had that book attached to my hip. Every single time we were on a bus or we were in the airport, I would open that book. I was studying. It was those like Schweizer notes, you know? Put call parity. I was studying that one day and the lights went out. There was a blackout in my house and I got a candle and I lit it. Okay? So I could study by candlelight for the CFA level one exam. So what I'm saying is, translate this into action. And I talk about in my episode of this podcast called Shoot the Ball, you should definitely check that one out, because I talk about how much activity you really should be taking if you're in a business development role, or if you are, you know, financial advisor, or if you're a business owner and you just wanna get more clients. All the marketing stuff and all the kind of mishmash that you do, the collateral, the blogs, everything, that's good. But at the end of the day, you got to ring the bell. And so in order to ring that bell, there's a certain amount of knocking on doors you got to do. And that's just, there's really no way to get around the numbers. And I know all of us CFA charter holders have to have some quantitative skill in order to get where we got. So what I'm saying is, I have a call recorder sheet where you can actually mark down the amount of calls that you're making a day. Contact me about that. Be glad to provide that to you, because at the end of the day, it really does come down to how many, I mean, you can even be making lousy attempts. I'd hate to break it to you, but your message can be all wrong. If you're reaching out to enough people and you have some degree of skill with your sales, you're actually going to get somewhere. Someone's going to say yes. It's just inevitable. You talk to 10 people a day, you talk to 50 people every business week or more, you get in front of that many people, you get a good solid pitch in about what you're about, somebody's going to raise their hand and say, let's meet, let's talk. That's kind of interesting. And so that leads me to my next question of what really is it that a CFA charter holder can offer, for example, in the field of wealth management, in the field of being a financial advisor. I'm going to talk about that. But by the way, there's a lot of what I'm going to say that applies to other people that are maybe, like, I know CFA charter holders that sell research services or are selling software, right? So some of this is going to apply to you. If you have specific questions about how what I'm going to say might apply to your field, then go ahead, hit me up here. Like I said, always happy to help another CFA charter holder. So the first thing is understand that to some extent, CFA charter holders do like to do business with each other, I have found. And I've been in business now maybe 10 years, roughly, in various entrepreneurial capacities ever since Lehman. I left Lehman in 2008. So I can just tell you that it's kind of like what happens in my apartment building. I have 3 children, ages 4 and younger. There's a woman upstairs, she lives right upstairs from me, that she has 4 children, ages 9 and younger. And so whenever I see her dragging her kids down the stairs in the morning to school, I'm dragging my kids down the stairs. It's like we have this kind of tacit understanding when we make eye contact, like how much pain we're both in the morning. And it's kind of that same thing with the CFA charter holders. I do feel like, I mean, I'm just being biased here. I'm an extremely biased person, but I do feel like I can trust another CFA charter holder so much more if we're talking about money, because they're bound to a code of ethics and they have made it through the ethics sections probably. you know, I'm guessing not everybody failed ethics all the time if they're charter holders. But just by virtue of the fact that you had to study and know that, there's some pretty tough questions on the ethics section. And I just feel like someone that has that understanding or has been trained in that area, I would be much more likely to trust with my money. So that's the first thing, is maybe look for other charter holders. I'm going to talk to you about that. If you're a financial advisor, look for other charter holders. You know, not me, don't contact me about this, but maybe somebody like me who used to be in the business but isn't, but is still a CFA charter holder, respects the designation, right? And there's tons of people. There's tons of like marketing people who are CFA charter holders, salespeople. You know, people who work for the government aren't necessarily involved with the money management aspect of it, right? Who knows? There's a lot of us. Not everyone is out there cracking trades every day that's a CFA charter holder. So just understand that there's hundreds of thousands of people across the world that are CFA charter holders. They're more likely to connect with you and trust you, I think. Now, I mean, I will tell you even personally that, you know, I do take care of a lot of people's money that I know, just informally, because I'm not an advisor anymore. But as my backup, they are all told to go to a certain person who is a CFA charter holder if something were to happen to me. So just to show you how deep that trust really does go. And don't expect that trust, by the way, from most other people. And I'm just going to say it bluntly, because although the CFA is widely recognized within certain tracks or within certain cultures or communities in the business world, to the average retail person, if you're talking about investment management or investment advice, they're looking for CFPs. And many of them don't know the difference between CFA, CFP, CPA. So maybe get a little bit of a good explanation about that you can tell people. Of course, do it in line with what the CFA says you can say about that to market yourself. But what I'm saying is, understand that not everyone's going to recognize it. It is more recognized, I think, among certain, extremely educated populations. For example, when I was an advisor, I used to call on young attorneys, attorneys that were in their 20s that had just, or early 30s that had just graduated from law school and had tons of debt and, you know, and I used to just work with them and help them with their finances. And I found that when I was a CFA, would present myself and they'd see my business card, they'd be like, oh, like, yeah, you know, my boyfriend's in that program or my girlfriend's in that program, or, you know, my brother just got his CFA. We're so happy, and this and that. They kind of understand what they've been through. Or, you know, it's not just young people. It's just extremely educated, like, you know, extremely educated people. A lot of people, MBAs, maybe aren't managing money, but people with MBAs that are in business, a lot of them have seen from their peers in their program. A lot of people go through the CFA program and they respect it. So, you know, look for those pockets as well. Now, understand that the CFA, now here's how you can use social media if you're a CFA charter holder, okay? Like I said, this is real practical. I'm not going to be Tony Robbins here today. Use LinkedIn groups. The CFA Institute, The CFA Institute has a remarkable social media presence. I mean, if you look at this is just, I mean, this is a huge asset that the CFA Institute is giving you. And because you're a member, you have access to this. So use it, people. Whatever you paid your 100-something bucks for, or 300 or whatever it is, you paid the dues. Get in those CFA groups. You know, I actually built a very nice business for myself with a particular service I was offering, just based on postings I put into the CFA candidates group on LinkedIn, which, by the way, has 186,000 members, I believe, currently. So there's also CFA Institute members, 46,000 people, CFA Private Wealth Management, 1,700 people, your local CFA Society group. For me, I'm in New York, so it was formerly NYSA, NYSSA. I think now it's like CFA Society of New York City or something like that. CFA Institute Women in Investment Management Network, 6,000 people. I mean, this is a big thing. You know, a lot of women want to do, not every woman, but many women do want to do business with a female advisor if they have issues that are specifically related to them being female and with their money, you know, like whatever, out earning their husband or whatever. Whoops, was I supposed to say that? Anyways, see, I'm a bad girl. All you should just know, like, I don't hold back the punches, you know. I'm blunt. So if you don't like it, there's other podcasts. I could actually recommend some. Anyways, but I hope you do like this because I think this is pretty good. By the way, if you do agree with that, if you think this is a good podcast, I'd really love it if you could just post up a review. I know some of you that maybe can't do endorsements or whatever. I know some of you can't do endorsements. So I just would appreciate it, though, if you can, that you would, because it would really help me out in my business and what I'm trying to do. Which is just reach people with my message. I know I can help a lot of people. I know I already have. I'm hearing every day from people that are acting on my advice, and there's tons of it. It's for free. It's out there. I have this podcast, my blog, my YouTube channel is very focused on CFAs, CFA issues and the exam and all of that. Like, I have a very wide following there, too, so check that out. Anyway, so what I'm saying is the CFA presence on social media is not too shabby. Even if you're not going to post content, get in there and meet people. And don't be surprised if you find that you might just meet some people that could use your services. And some of them may be CFAs, some of them may not be. Because like I said, you know, we kind of like to do business with each other. The other thing is, why don't you actually, if you're in a financial advisor, for example, why don't you design a special product specifically for other CFA charter holders? Now, we all know that CFA charter holders tend to be investment-focused people. For example, they tend to like the markets and trading. That's why they got into that. Now, why doesn't somebody create a kind of like financial planning course or a program that provides financial planning? What? What's wrong? That provides financial planning. Okay, hold on. I think I gotta pause this. Okay, I'm back. A program that provides planning that is targeted towards CFA charter holders that already have the investment side covered. So it could be like, you know, not just financial planning like every single advisor is going to offer generically, but why don't you put a little twist on there? Why don't you say, okay, so I'm not managing your money, but here's some things about your investments that you might want to kind of be looking at. Have your beneficiaries changed? Is the risk tolerance on your account still correct? Maybe include within that package a free second set of eyes pass or a review where you'll just look over the portfolio and tell the CFA charter holder that is managing the money, that is managing their own money or the money of somebody else that they know, like me, for example, right? Tell this person for a nominal fee, you know, not too high, is there something wrong with the portfolio that maybe based on your market outlook, the fact that you are a professional and I'm at this point not, okay, that you can offer? Why don't you do something like that? Don't try to take away the investment side from them. Don't call the whole thing off just because you can't get the portfolio, because guess what? There's a lot of value in being that second contact and being that backup, because you just never know when life things could change and the person says, you know what, I'm so tired of doing this, I can't do it anymore, or I made a lot more money, I don't even know what to do with it anymore, right? I don't have time, this, that, right? Hint, a lot of people are more motivated to hire a money manager once they mess up. So we are in, I think, an extremely long bull market from what I understand. We haven't had a 20% correction in a while, but when it happens, some people might kind of be wondering what they could have done differently and maybe would appreciate, what's wrong, would appreciate your advice a little bit more. So the other thing is, contribute to CFA publications. There's, you know, the Financial Analyst Journal. If you're a little bit technical, you could write a nice blog for the CFA Institute Enterprising Investor publication that they put up. So these publications, I don't know, I'm not the editor, but I do think that these publications are a little bit more likely to welcome a submission from a CFA charter holder. So get some attention for yourself. You know, you can say, oh, well, the audience is just going to be other charter holders. It's true, but then again, you never know when that CPA or that estate attorney might be reading it. And especially if you're able to tailor the content towards that, then you might be actually really successful reaching other audiences, or at least getting into the position where people may share it. And so, by the way, about your own blogs, don't think that writing about being a CFA charter holder is off limits for your own blogging. You know, the blogs that you have that you send to your clients. So, for example, let's see, I see a lot of people that are CFA charter holders that are financial advisors, and they just kind of don't, like, they don't actually let it show the value that it really could. And I know that you're limited in what you can say about having the designation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting into the substance of what the experience was that you had and what you had to learn and understand to a very high level of understanding in order to be awarded this designation. So, for example, write a specific blog about something like this. When I was a CFA charter holder candidate, a CFA exam candidate, I studied extensively the ethics section because I had to answer questions about things like client confidentiality. And here was an example of something that I had to learn. I had to learn about who exactly could be privy to information and who couldn't, and the answer was sometimes surprising. And then present a sample, like a sample question you would have been asked, just to show people how hard it was and how tricky these ethical issues really can be. And then it'll be implied that because you've had this training, because you know things like this, because you had to answer questions like this, then maybe you have a slightly more attuned moral compass than other people that have not been through this process, okay? So what I'm saying is don't brag about being a CFA charter holder, and don't do something stupid like imply that you're smarter than the next person because of it, but you did go through an awful lot to get this, so maybe talk about that a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And don't have it be all technical and you know, like, I know all I know about the market and this and that, because I don't think people really care about that. If you want to really resonate with people, show them about the human element, about the application of these things, about how the service they are getting directly is going to be different because of the way that they'll be treated by you because you're a CFA charter holder. All right? So the other thing is, if you're a financial advisor and you're looking to get new clients, a big thing is working with that, we call them Gen Y or Millennial, maybe even Gen X, people that don't have that $2 million portfolio just yet but are high earners. They call them Henrys. That is the acronym they use. And it's a great way to get in front of them to use the CFA candidate pool. There's a lot of people on LinkedIn. I know there's analyst forum. A lot of the CFA candidates are on there. They have tons of questions. These CFA candidates are voracious for knowledge. Like, I have a YouTube channel, and all I have to do is post a video about, like, I think one of my videos that did really well was, like, I did one on, like, how to become a portfolio manager. I did another one on, like, study tips for, you know, what not to do if you want to pass the exam. Other ones were, like, what to do the day after the CFA exam, right? And, like, people voraciously gobble up this content. So what I'm saying is, if you want to reach those younger generations, understand that not every CFA, first of all, they're easy to and visible because they're out there voraciously looking for advice. They really are. And the other thing is that understand that not every CFA candidate is actually going to make it through the program. Whoops! Did I say that? Yeah, I said it. It's true. Some people, and you know this, are just going to die off. They're going to not get through level two. They're going to, you know, like me, like fail a million times. But since I was like too stubborn to give up, I made it. Whereas other people are just going to be like, you know what? I got kids. I got a mortgage. I got to get a new job. And they're not going to do it. So those people, like if you make contact with them at the point that they are candidates, turns out a few years later they end up failing out of the program, that actually is a great opportunity for you right there, because that's someone that maybe isn't going to be in the industry. Maybe they're going to go work for like the, like selling pharmaceuticals or something like that, working for a pharmaceutical company, like, you know, in the budgeting department or something like that. I mean, who knows? These are great people to be in touch with. Educated, probably a little bit disciplined, maybe a little bit motivated. Sounds good to me if you're trying to meet millennials, which you should be, by the way. Check out my other content on my blog. So anyways, what I'm trying to say is the CFA designation is a powerful achievement, not just in the name. Don't expect the name value to have it to go very far. That is a fatal flaw maximize the value as a prospecting tool, whether you are a financial advisor or not. And so other than this, I actually do know many more ways to leverage this credential. And if you're curious, just go ahead and hit me up here. This is my website. You can contact me. I also do speak about this topic. So if there are groups that you think would like to hear this message, maybe your local CFA society, I also would appreciate knowing, you know, reaching out to me as well, because I know that I can help. I know that there's at least somebody in your group that is going to benefit from what I have to say. And we could do a webinar, or I could stop by sometime. You know me, I'm real friendly. I love to always meet other CFA charter holders. So thanks everybody for listening. And again, I really would appreciate it if everybody could just rate, review, and subscribe this podcast. Thanks everybody for listening. Bye now.